People of Note on Fine Music Radio is proudly brought to you each week at this time by Peter Turin Productions. This is Rodney Trudgeon welcoming you to this week's edition of People of Note here on Fine Music Radio. And we're going to have a little bit of fun, I think, this week with something a little different. Recently, I went to see what's described as an adult pantomime, The Three Little Pigs, with a bit of a naughty twist. And it takes place at what's described as South Africa's premier cabaret dinner theatre, Gate 69, which is in town, with business partners Brendan van Rijn, Luana Schoenfield, and Christopher Dudgeon. And I have to say, it is a thoroughly enjoyable evening, quite different as well from what one normally expects from a theatre. It reminded me of some of the theatres you see in films in Paris, for example, some of those supper clubs. And with me in the studio is Christopher Dudgeon, who is also the writer and director of this adult pantomime, The Three Little Pigs. And Christopher, welcome. I have to find out all about you, all about the trolley dollies, and all about Gate 69, while still trying to be polite and not say anything naughty, because there is a twist of naughtiness and fun in your evenings, isn't there?
Yes, there is. There always is.
And you do that on purpose.
Yes.
But calling it an adult pantomime doesn't necessarily mean it's like going into an adult shop or something. It's just for adults. It's certainly not a place to take children to see what they know as the Three Little Pigs.
Yes, correct. It's not smut and it has nothing to do with adult entertainment. It is just age restricted.
And do you agree with what I said just now? You know those films. I remember recently I saw Victor Victoria with Julie Andrews again. And just watching those lovely supper clubs in Paris with having people sitting having drinks and dinner and a lovely cabaret taking place on stage, it just doesn't seem to happen anymore. And that's what you people have tried to fill, isn't it?
Exactly, yes. We felt that there was a massive gap in the market for something like that. It's been sort of a presence on the scene in Western culture for such a long time that seems to have disappeared, certainly on this continent, and we felt that it needed to make a comeback.
Are there any others in? There used to be on there, but there's nothing at the moment.
Nothing at the moment, no. Nothing like this. Nothing sort of that makes you feel like you are sitting in a plush, expensive environment that makes you feel glamorous and completely transports you from your normal day-to-day life.
Because even, I mean, the inside is lovely red and gold, and
yes,
it really feels like those Paris clubs.
Plush purple velvet.
Plush purple velvet.
That's what we love.
Christopher, before we start talking about The Three Little Pigs, which, as I said, you wrote and directed this version, just a little bit more about this club. How did it come into being? What happened to get this all going?
Well, the short version of the story, Rodney, is that myself, Brendan van Rijn, and Rudy Jansen, the third trolley dolly, started talking about a little theatre when we were performing at Madame Zagara in 2011. And it was an obsession of Brendan's that he'd had for a long time, that he wanted to build a little theatre. He kept saying 80 seats, 80 seats, 80 seats. And we spoke about it, sort of a pie-in-the-sky dream, we'd love to do it one day. And then I went off overseas and performed all over the place. Rudy started working in corporate, and Brendan obviously continued along his path as his alter ego, Kathy Specific. And we just never stopped speaking about it. And then sort of 3 years ago, we got extremely serious about it. I came back home, and we decided it was now time. The market was ready for it. We knew exactly what we wanted to do and how we wanted to do it. And we built it.
But this theatre that you've got there, that building, apparently is a heritage site, isn't it?
It is, yes.
And did you have to, was it a theatre before, or what did you do to it? Because it looks so amazing.
Yes, it was built in 1891. It was originally built as a Freemason temple. It's interesting.
Oh, right.
It went through sort of various configurations, but it when we got it, it was an auction house upstairs and downstairs a dressmaker shop. And we bashed through the two levels and, of course, altered it enormously. But it was sort of perfect for our purposes in that the upstairs was a triple-volume space with beautiful wooden flooring, a built-in balcony so that we didn't have to do that ourselves. And it sort of seemed made for us. You know?
Yeah. And so the moment you saw it, even when it was a dressmaker shop in an auction place, you thought, we can make our dream come true in this place.
Yes, absolutely.
And gosh, has it come true. Because we spoke about the plush purple and velvet and red and all that, but you've designed a lovely proscenium arch as well to give a sense with the curtains of something great's going to happen. And it seems a fairly spacious stage. I mean, obviously not a huge stage.
Not huge, you know. No. But in terms of the rest of the space, you know, there was there's always that sort of debate about more audience or more stage. Mm. And we had to strike that balance because we wanted to be able to put proper stage productions onto our stage and not make it a platform in the corner. And we wanted a proscenium arch theatre so that it lifts it into a new experience, you know, into sort of a different sphere. So that was, you know, debate back and forth, but we came up with a really good size that we can actually do things on.
Absolutely. And how many does it seat?
It seats up to 100 people for for dinner, yes.
And the dinner thing is interesting because you use that thing, what's it called, a swiveling Susan or something?
A lazy Susan.
And lots of sort of tapas and snacks, and so it's a whole sort of multi-century evening that you get.
Yes, exactly.
And the other thing I notice is that you people, like Brendan and yourself and Rudy, actually serve in your costumes. You serve people before the show, which must put a little bit of strain on you.
It does put a bit of strain on us. We work very hard. But we feel that, you know, because we're on stage doing the production, that we want our audience to have an entire experience from the moment they walk in. When you walk up to Gate 69 off of the street, Kathy Specific is standing on the red carpet. You walk in, our other business partner, Luana Schoenfeld, is standing at the box office taking your ticket. You arrive upstairs and you are served by the trolley dollies, your meals and your drinks. We then go on stage, we give you the show, we come off stage and we serve you your dessert and some more drinks and then chat to you for the rest of the evening. It is an entire experience. We welcome you into our dining room and give you a show.
And it certainly feels like that when you're there. And isn't it interesting you say a new experience, because you go in, you're met by Kathy Specific at the door on the red carpet with the gold rails and things. And then when you come out, suddenly you in a back street of Cape Town.
Yes, back in the real world.
What street? It's Short Market Street, is it?
Bree Street and Hart Street.
Bree and Hart. Yes. Okay. Right, now, before we go any further, Christopher, what's your first choice of music? I'm intrigued to see what someone like you chooses.
I have chosen Sweet Transvestite from the Rocky Horror Show.
Why? Apart from the fact that it's such fun.
It was the first stage show that I ever saw, was the Rocky Horror Show at the Victory Theatre many, many years. I was 12 years old. And I was absolutely captivated by it, and that was where the stage bug bit, and I have never recovered.
Okay. Yeah. And this is the famous version, the film soundtrack with Tim Curry.
Yes.
How do you do, I see you've met my faithful hand in hand. He's just a little broad guy, because when you knocked, he thought you were the candy man. Don't get strung out by the way I look. Don't judge a book by its cover. I'm not much of a man by the light of day, but by night I'm one hell of a lover. I'm just a sweet transvestite from transsexual Transylvania. Let me show you a rhyme, maybe play you a sign. You look like you're both pretty groovy. Or if you want something visual that's not too abysmal, we could take in an old Steve Reeves movie.
I'm glad we caught you at home. Could we use your phone? We're both in a bit of a hurry.
Right.
We'll just say where we are, then go back to the car. We don't want to be any worry.
Well, you got caught with a flat world. How about that? Well, babies, don't you panic. By the light of the night, it'll all seem all right. I'll get you a satanic mechanic. I'm just a sweet transvestite from transsexual Transylvania. Why don't you stay for the night? Or maybe a bite. I could show you my favorite obsession. I've been making a man with blonde hair and a tan, and he's good for relieving my tension. I'm just a sweet transvestite from transsexual Transylvania.
come up to the lab and see what's on the slab. I see you shiver with anticipation. But maybe the rain is really to blame. So I'll remove the cause. But not the symptom.
The inimitable Tim Curry in the screen version of the Rocky Horror Picture Show singing his famous song there, Sweet Transvestite. The first choice of my guest on People of Note this week, Christopher Dudgeon, who is part of the Trolley Dollies at Gate 69 and who actually is the writer and director of the current pantomime there called Three Little Pigs. Definitely not for children, but as you said, Christopher, also not smutty, just a good deal of fun.
Yeah.
And let's talk a little bit about the show itself, the Three Little Pigs, since I've mentioned it like that. I wasn't quite sure what possessed you to do this, because you wrote it, let's face it, and directed. So where did you start from?
Well, I started at the fable that we all know so well.
Yes.
And then realized that there's not much to it, and sort of went from there, you know. Obviously, my intention immediately was to make it naughty. It was easy to choose because there are three pigs and there are three trolley dollies. That's where I started. And from there, decided to make it a fable about women and their loose morals, and where that can lead you.
A nervous laugh all round. And then, interestingly, the three of you do that. We talk about what the trolley dollies are just now, but the three of you do that. That's yourself, Brendan, and Rudy.
Correct.
And then you've got an actor doing the so-called straight role, which is the wolf.
Yes.
And who is quite different from you. And you obviously went out of your way to choose someone that could create quite a contrast between you three.
Yes, it had to be. It had to be someone who obviously is comfortable with us, but who, like you say, creates that contrast on stage.
And who is that? I can't remember his name.
His name is Sean John Lowe, and he's a fantastic young actor, also a model, who's recently moved to Cape Town. And I cast him because he is a really good performer and has an incredible stage presence, as well as is easy on the eye.
Yeah. Yes, as everyone saw that night. But what about the actual music? Where does that come from?
We always try and choose a score that is familiar to the audience. It makes you want to get out of your seat and dance. We always sort of want to make people feel that they are at a party almost, you know, with their favorite songs.
Right, right.
And then obviously we change a lot of the lyrics, make them pertinent to the story. And obviously make them naughty.
Just give me a little example. Don't be too naughty, but just give me an example.
Fernando by Ella. Yes. We changed all of those lyrics. Let me try and think of a lyric that's not too naughty. Oh my God, it's him, Fernando. Why not lure this hunky beast into my house and show my...
I see.
Bits.
So that's the sort of thing you've done. So the songs are instantly recognizable.
Yes.
And then when you're listening to it, you think, now, wait a minute, this is a little bit different.
Yes.
Okay.
It sort of wakes the audience up as well. You know, mm-hmm. So it says, listen very carefully.
Okay.
Yes.
And then how do you decide, you know, who's going to play what? Because the three little pigs, well, I suppose they're interchangeable, really, aren't they?
They are, yes. I mean, we don't sort of associate a certain character with a pig.
Yeah.
So that was sort of creative license there.
And am I right in saying that, if anything, you're the more serious of the three little pigs? You don't put up with much nonsense. You like everyone.
Yes.
You pull them into shape quite often.
I'd go so far as to call myself the grumpy one, yes.
Okay.
Yes. There's sort of, Brendan plays the airhead glamopus, and Rudy plays the complete ditz, very pleasant but stupid, and I play the grump.
And let's talk about this whole business of drag for a moment, because Brendan was very amused that I've never really been into what they call drag, just one of those things.
Yeah.
And he dragged me along to Gate 69 earlier this year. And I have to say, I did enjoy it, although I was quite taken aback at the detail and sort of voluptuousness of your costumes, which must take forever to put on.
Yes.
Do they?
Yes, they are complicated garments that take forever to make. And then almost as long to get into.
And I dare say out of.
Yes. Yes.
And so there must be a bit of a warmer period where you have to get to the theatre fairly early. I think Brendan told me he gets there some hours before to get himself into his rig.
Well, yeah, you know, because we run the business, we're there sort of from 10 o'clock in the morning anyway. So we have our day jobs in the business, and then at about 3 o'clock we go into makeup, which takes 2 hours at least. And then from there into costume, which also takes a good sort of 45 minutes to get into your garments.
It just struck me now, one doesn't think of it, of course you have to have a day job, that is your office as well. I remember, yes, Brendan saying to me, this is the office, he's at the office at 10. Mm. There's presumably lots of admin to do, organizing ticket, yes, sales, promotion, all amount, that, yes, stuff. And also things like the menus and food. Do you have a good chef sorting
yourself?
We have
an incredible chef, an incredible kitchen staff in general, who work very hard. We launched a new menu with a new show for season, which is a sort of fresh summer menu, and that takes an incredible amount of work.
Gosh, so it really is a full-time job.
Yeah.
Christopher, let's have another selection of music. Tell me what you've chosen and why you've chosen it.
I have chosen A Little Bit of Good, which is from Chicago, the musical, sung by the character Mary Sunshine. And I've chosen that because that was the first role I ever played on stage, was Mary Sunshine in Chicago. Hmm.
Now look, in a few minutes, there's going to be a big press conference here. There'll be a whole bunch of photographers and reporters. And that sob sister from the Evening Star is coming. I don't figure we'll have any trouble with her. She'll swallow hook, line, and sinker. Her name is Mary Sunshine.
When I was a tiny tot of maybe two or three, I can still remember what my mother said there to me. This rose-colored glasses on her nose, and you will see the rabbit not across. For in this tense and tangled web, our weary lives can weave. You're so much better off if you believe.
Was music from Chicago, A Little Bit of Good, sung by Mary Sunshine, Chicago the musical, and a choice of my guest, Christopher Dudgeon, who is here talking about Gate 69 and the adult pantomime The Three Little Pigs, which is on, I think, pretty well for the rest of the year, isn't it?
For the rest
it?
Of the season, yes.
And so we'll run into the sort of holiday season in December.
Correct, yes.
You do have quite long runs, I've noticed.
About three to four months, yes.
Okay. Mm. And, I mean, that just shows that you're getting the people in, because to run it for that long, you must be assured of quite a good audience.
From your lips to God's ears.
Okay.
Yes.
Very well. I wanted to find out, you mentioned that you played that part of the song we've just heard in the Chicago, one of your first forays into the theatre, but it says here that you've toured South African parts of the world, the Rocky Horror Show, Trier Arn, Ons Voor Jou, Showboat, Jersey Boy is the Sound of Music, all the big shows. So how did it all begin? Where does the theatre thing come in with you?
It came in high school. I grew up with a terrible stutter and was extremely shy. And I had always wanted to be on stage and was always terrified of it. And I made my mother promise me that I would audition for the major production at our high school. The day came and I decided to audition and got the role of Mary Sunshine. So that was in high
school.
Oh, that
was Chicago at school?
Yes.
Right.
And found that I had a singing voice. And I've never looked back since then. That's completely changed my life.
What happened to the stutter?
It went away. The stage helped. I went to a hypnotist who also helped, but in that year it disappeared for the first time in my life.
Good grief.
And everything changed.
My goodness me. Mm. But am I right in saying that, are you the one from the trio that wanted to be a dentist?
Yes.
Well, what's that about?
I wanted to be a dentist. thankfully, it never went past that, a desire.
But what a contrast, really.
Yes, I sort of always resisted a career on the stage. I couldn't tell you why. I loved it from the word go, but always resisted sort of it as a profession. Went to university and studied linguistics and literature. And then when that was over, ended up on the stage anyway, you know.
Can you tell me why you chose linguistics and literature? Because that's a very interesting course, actually. You don't hear of everyone studying linguistics and literature.
No. I obviously went to study BA, Bachelor of the Arts, and was sort of, I had no real direction when I arrived there. I was always obsessed with literature, so that's where I started, and then started sort of delving into different courses, which you can do in a BA, which I think is the strongest sort of part of that degree, and came across linguistics and came across South African Sign Language, which became my majors.
South African Sign Language?
Yes.
Really? Gosh.
Yes.
Do you ever get a chance to use any of these skills?
Not anymore, no. Besides the fact that I write a lot, which is fantastic. Not in any sort of professional sense.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Are you only writing at the moment for Gate 69, or do you have your finger in other pies as well?
I have had my finger in other pies, and in the future I'm sort of busy with one or two other projects outside of Gate 69. Writing is my passion and what I do most readily.
And what was how did you get into professional theatre then?
I finished at Wits University and randomly went to an agent in Johannesburg who, I have no idea why, decided to take me on. She had absolutely no reason to, but she did, and ended up in the Rocky Horror Show.
Oh, was that your first professional engagement?
My first professional engagement.
Yes. As I have to ask you, which role?
It started out as a Phantom, and then I played Riff Raff, and then played Frankenfurter.
Oh, okay, so you've done the show pretty well. But then by contrast, the Afrikaans stuff you've done as well, so you must be completely bilingual. Tweetalig?
No, not at all.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I can sing in Afrikaans, but I don't speak it very well.
Oh, okay,
yes.
Okay. And then the Sound of Music, which is such a far removed from... I hope you never do an adult version of the Sound of Music, may I just say.
No, that I won't touch. I think that is...
sacrosanct in many ways. And you were born in Johannesburg, weren't you? You're not a Cape Town.
No.
And the other thing I found interesting, Christopher, before we came in here, when you did want to open this show, this theatre, you couldn't decide between Johannesburg and Cape Town, but part of you wanted to live in Johannesburg.
Yes.
Is that true?
I'm a born and bred Joburger, and I miss it dearly. We decided to open in Cape Town because we feel that Cape Townians are more experimental than Johannesburgers, and our instinct was correct, I feel.
Okay.
I still wonder how it would work in Johannesburg, and maybe one day we will explore that. That is obviously on the horizon. But yes, I've settled in Cape Town. It is the most incredible place to live. I mean, you can't complain about it.
Mm-hmm.
It is a wonderful place.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Well, just to be on your side briefly, I've been down here for 13 years now from Johannesburg.
Oh, really?
And I know exactly what you mean.
Yes.
Because when I came down, many people said, you must be so happy to be in Cape Town. And I said, well, I am. You can't help but be happy.
Yes.
But I miss Johannesburg.
Yes, there is something about it.
I miss the thunderstorms.
Mm.
And I miss the very, very different energy of Johannesburg. So
very
I can understand what you mean, absolutely.
Yes.
Let's have another piece of music, Christopher. Christopher Dudgeon is my guest on People of Note this week.
I've chosen as my next selection Old Man River from the original movie version of Showboat.
You sentimental old fool. Why have you chosen this?
One of the highlights of my career was traveling to Paris with that musical. It was a very special time for me.
There's an old man called the Mississippi. That's the old man that I'd like to be. What does he care if the world's got troubles? What does he care if the land ain't free? Old Man River, that old man River, he must know something, but don't say nothing. He just keeps rolling, he keeps on rolling. But old man River, he just keeps rolling along. You and me, we sweat and strain, body all aching and racked with pain. Tote that barge, lift that bale, you get a little drunk and your land's in jail. I get weary and sick of trying. I'm tired of living and scared of dying. But old man River, he just keeps rolling along. Dark is all wake on the Mississippi. Dark is all wake while the white folks play. Pulling those boats from the dawn till sunset, getting no rest till the judgment day.
Don't know dark and don't know down, you don't dare stay, the white horse brown. Bend your knees and bow your head and pull and roll until you're dead.
Let me go away from the Mississippi, let me go away from the white man boss. Show me that stream called the River Jordan. That's the old stream that I long to cross.
Old Man River, now Old Man River, he must know something, but don't say nothing. He just keeps rolling, he keeps on rolling.
Famous song that is, Old Man River, the original movie version there, and another choice of my guest, Christopher Dudgeon, who's with me in the studio on People of Note this week. Christopher is the writer and director of The Three Little Pigs, which is on at Gate 69, and which I've been saying is not for children, it's definitely an adult pantomime. But the other thing I wanted to talk to you about, Christopher, is we've mentioned a few times, or you've mentioned a few times, the Trolley Dollies, who are the resident act at Gate 69. Yes. Tell me about them, who they are, what they do, why they're called the Trolley Dollies.
The Trolley Dollies were started by Brendan Van Rijn, who sort of began his career, or his alter ego's career, as Kathy Specific over 10 years ago now. And we met in the Afrikaans musical at the State Theatre called Trian. And myself and Rudy, the other two Trolley Dollies, had never done drag before. And Brendan came over to us and said he's been looking for two boys of his height and stature for a long time. We're all over 6'2". Mm-hmm. And he said, would you consider doing drag? I said, over my dead body. And next thing I
did
knew...
Did you really?
Yes, I did. Yes. I had absolutely no interest in it. And anyway, we decided to give it a go. And we auditioned for Madame Zingara. We pretended that we were an existing troupe. And what was special about it is that there is no drag troupe that actually sings. You know, there's plenty of lip-syncing drags around. But we are musical theatre boys who sing in three-part harmony, complicated stuff, Andrew Sisters, etc., etc. And that sort of set us apart immediately. And Zingara snapped us up. And we performed there for a long time. And it sort of... I sort of thought it would end there. And it just never did. The gigs kept coming and I just couldn't get out of drag.
You sound as though you're slightly irritated by that.
Well, it has sort of changed the course of my life. Yes. It really, really has. Yeah. We went to the airline theme because Brendan's alter ego, Kathy, is an air hostess. And it's so easy to... It's such an iconic image, you know. You cannot mistake it. It's a welcoming image. It's something that everybody recognizes. And there is plenty scope for humor in the airline industry. And we have sort of... use that to our advantage.
Yes. Mm. So you have. But then you moved as the Trolley Dollies more to this adult pantomime thing, didn't you? Rather than the sort of airways thing.
Yes.
Which you still do from time to time, don't
yes,
you?
Yes, we've done... we did Kathy and the Trolley Dollies Full Throttle, which was about the airlines. We did that musical. And we sort of felt that was done then. You know, we had done that. We then moved forward. What we feel sort of quite strongly about is that we want to create as much content as possible and be as versatile as possible, mm-hmm. Because we are performers in our own right. We don't want to be sort of boxed into this, this one category at
right.
all.
Okay. And do you have a director for these sort of shows?
Different directors for different shows, depending on what it is. We've used Marilyn van Rijnen, who is an incredible director for our Kathy Specific and the Trolley Dolly show. Elisma Badenhorst has directed us. But for this adult panto, because it's sort of my concept from beginning to end, we decided it would just be easier if I did it.
Okay, so you're directing, as I say, you're the director yes. of the show and the writer.
Mm.
Gosh, it's quite a business, and as you say, it changed the course of your career, and now you're strutting around in drag most of the time.
Yes.
What would you have done had this not happened? Would you have just been, I know this sounds ridiculous to say just been, but would you have been a normal actor?
Yes, I was sort of on a very different path. I was doing a lot of traveling in some of the big shows that travel all over the world and loving every second of that. And that was sort of where I imagined myself continuing, you know. And then the more we spoke about Gate 69, the more the concept became real in our heads, the more I realized that unless we tried that, I would not be satisfied with anything else.
Right. And now that you are doing this, this is now, can I say, locked you into this. You're not going to suddenly appear in The Sound of Music or play
yes.
somewhere there.
Not anytime soon anyway. Yes.
No, this is your main focus.
Yes,
now.
You know, it gives us the opportunity to create our own work. It gives us the opportunity to be theatre practitioners from the bottom up, which is something that is not easy to come by in this country. You know, we have our own theatre in which we can produce our own productions from a technical aspect and the creative aspect, from the business aspect of it. It really is a full-on experience for us from beginning to end, and we would not have got that anywhere else.
No, and as you said, Christopher, you, all three of you are singers as yes. well as actors, so which is unique, I suppose, yes. in this sort of world.
Mm.
Anyway, let's have another piece of music. What have you got for us now?
My next selection is September Song by Lotte Lenya.
Oh, okay.
It's a Kurt Weill piece.
Any reason special?
Yes, because I was in a show called Berlin to Broadway, and that was also a very special time in my life, and I completely fell in love with the work of Kurt Weill.
Oh, it's a long, long while September, when the autumn weather turns the leaves to flame, one hasn't got time for the way. The young men early in spring, they court you in song and rhyme, they woo you with songs and a clover ring. But if you examine the goods they bring, they have little to offer but the songs they sing, and a plentiful waste of time of day, and a plentiful waste of time. It's a long, long while from May till December. When the autumn weather turns the leaves to flame, for the days dwindle down to a precious few.
Ages since I've heard that September song, Lottie Lenya, Kurt Weill's music. And it's good to know, Christopher, that you like that sort of thing, because it's quite a specialized thing, isn't it,
Kurt
Weill? And it must also be quite specialized to perform.
It's difficult music to sing.
Is it?
Yes.
Is it?
Complicated, but okay. So beautiful. Yeah.
My guest on People of Note here on Fine Music Radio this week is Christopher Dudgeon, who is part of a team at Gate 69 called the Trolley Dollies, who are putting on the adult pantomime, The Three Little Pigs, which is going to run till the end of the year. And I can assure you it's great fun. I know we've hinted at it being naughty and all that, and with different words, but it's certainly not smutty, as we said earlier. So I don't think it will offend any. Although, having said that, Christopher, what I noticed on both occasions I went there was that the audience was quite mixed. It's not in any way a gay club, is it?
Not at all, no.
Most of the people there are straight couples.
Yes.
And you sort of wonder what the poor old men are thinking. But they seem to enjoy it. Or have you had people storming out in disgust? Embarrassment, perhaps?
We have had sort of one or two incidents of people being uncomfortable. We had one couple in our very first show that did actually walk out, but nothing since then. We always find that as opposed to sort of creating a fence, it creates conversation with these people. And that's right. Exactly what we want, you know. We have a lot of straight couples coming. These men seem to be dragged by their wives who are intent on watching this. And they are often very honest about it and say, I did not want to come but I'm really glad that I did.
Oh, and they end up enjoying it.
Yes, okay. And that's extremely satisfying.
Yeah, because you feel when you're there that you're at a perfectly normal theatre, the people that you'd meet at any other theatre or cabaret club
exactly.
in town.
Yes.
And the other very pleasant thing, I sound like your ambassador at the moment, is that bar area where you can meet and drink before the bell rings and you're taken into the actual auditorium.
Mm.
But Christopher, we mentioned or you hinted earlier about a manifesto. I mean, what actually are the three of you trying to achieve?
Gay 69, we feel, is a very special place. It was entirely needed in this country for a very specific reason, you know. We are, as much as we perform in drag and we are musical theatre boys, we have something that we are trying to achieve. And we are really glad that we have managed to draw in a crowd of the kind that we do, which is a lot of middle-aged straight people who are broad-minded enough to come and have a look, but obviously have questions and possibly could find it outlandish and strange. And what we're trying to achieve is a culture in which it is all right to be exactly who and what you are at all times, certainly within our space. Whoever comes there, we welcome with open arms and make them feel like family. And we hope that this spreads. You know, we use drag as a metaphor for being who you are, no matter what the world says about it. And I feel that is exceptionally important in these times. We are lucky enough to have been accepted. It could have gone the other way. And we were very aware that we were taking a huge risk, other than financial, and that we could have been rejected, we could have been laughed at, we could have been sort of hounded out of town. You know, you never know how these things will be taken up. But thankfully, we have been accepted and we've been welcomed, and we want to do the same. It is really, really important that there is a space for people to come and be exactly who they are. As they say, let your freak flag fly. And that is in no way sinister. You know, it's all our little quirks as people. We all have them. It doesn't matter how normal you see yourself as. You are, in some way, a drag queen. There's something that you put on in the morning for the world to see. And we encourage you to take it off. Take your mask off and be exactly who you are.
Okay. And, okay, that's a very good manifesto because it's this openness. Yes. And we've said a few times it doesn't encourage any sort of smuttiness.
Mm.
It encourages fun and a good laugh and a sense of forgetting the world's troubles at that moment, enjoying a good meal, enjoying a good wine, and enjoying a really outrageous show.
Yes.
Is that hit the nail on the head?
That hits it on the head, yes. Yeah.
Well, when the pantomime is not on, and I know you said this one is going through till the end of the year, you do have the trolley dollies. Are there any times where the theatre isn't on, where you're just not running shows, or are you pretty busy every night of the year?
No, we are constantly busy. You know, if the theatre is dark, then it's not operating, and you know,
then you're losing money.
Exactly. So we are open all the time.
Mm. And just this manifesto that you've spoken about, is that possibly what might inspire you one day to try out Johannesburg and try and open something
indeed,
up there?
Yes.
Whereas and then you need even more people because your business will get bigger and bigger.
Yes, yeah, you know.
And there's no shortage of material, is there?
There is never a shortage of material.
would you write anything original? And sorry, that sounds rather rude.
No, absolutely, yes.
You did the Macbeth, the adult pantomime, the Three Little Pigs. Are we likely to see a Christopher Dudgeon original cabaret, adult pantomime?
You are very likely to see it in the very near future.
Oh, really? Is that
a
little clue?
Yes.
A little teaser?
Is. Yes, it is, for next year.
Okay.
Mm.
Well, Christopher, it's been fascinating talking to you about
you,
the concept of Gate 69, as you said, in this manifesto. And isn't it interesting, both of us, I think, said in the course of this program that we were not all that mad about drag.
Yes.
I certainly wasn't until Brendan got hold of me. And you, as you said, over my dead body. And yet, if you think about it, there have been a number of hugely successful so-called drag people. One only has to think of the Australian, whose name escapes me, Dame Edna.
Yes, Dame Edna.
Dame Edna Everidge. Also Peter Dirk Ace with Evita Bazenhout, where they create these characters which can sort of say things that maybe the normal person wouldn't say.
Yes.
And around the world, isn't there? There are famous drag artists who travel extensively and who apparently completely mesmerize audiences.
Yes, all over the world, and it's a growing art form at the moment. It has exploded onto the pop culture scene in the form of RuPaul's Drag Race and all of those things. It's turned into an industry.
Yeah. Anyway, it's been great. It's been a great experience being there. So I certainly would recommend going along to see Three Little Pigs, as long as you know it's an adult phantom. Yes. It's not a family outing.
It by any means. No. Yeah.
So it's a fun evening in the theatre, in a lovely theatre with all this velvet and, what did you call it, plush purple?
Plush purple velvet.
Plush purple velvet. Yeah. I can't say that. Plus purple velvet. So, Christopher, thank you, and all strength to your arm, and I hope you have a fantastic run through November and December, and when all the Johannesburgers come down here, I bet you they'll come rushing along. It'll be interesting to
see
how
they react. Thank you, Rodney.
And now, wait, before you go, one more piece of music. What are we going to end with?
With my favorite, Oh, What a Beautiful Morning from Oklahoma, sung by Gordon McRae. I taught myself how to sing listening to this man's voice.
It's a, I mean, there's the only version, really, isn't
it? The
Gordon McRae's version. Yes. Okay. My guest on People of Note this week was Christopher Dudgeon.
Golden haze on the meadow. There's a bright golden haze on the meadow. The corn is as high as an elephant's eye, and it looks like it's climbing clear up to the sky. Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. I got a beautiful feeling. Everything's going my way. All the sounds of the earth are like music. All the sounds of the earth are like music. The breeze is so busy, it don't miss a tree. And old weeping willow is laughing at me. Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. I got a beautiful feeling. Going my way. Oh, what a beautiful day.
People of Note on Fine Music Radio was proudly brought to you by Peter Turin Productions.
Don't miss The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime, presented by Peter Turin. From the best-selling novel comes this multi-award-winning play, directed by Paul Warwick Griffin, with an unforgettable cast including Kai Brummer, Lesoho Siabe, Ashley Dowds, Kate Normington, Nicholas Ellenbogen, Liz Simchak, Jenny Stead, Jenna Galloway, Dylan Eady, and Clayton Evertson. Embark on this extraordinary life-changing journey, making its South African debut at the new Theatre on the Bay, September 25. Book now at petertureen.co.za.